track session number 19903, Reel 1.
Colonel Varwell, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
At Exton.
Which year was this?
South of Exeter, 1920.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in South Devon, East Devon?
No, because quite soon we moved to Buckinghamshire. Because my father was in business in London.
So whereabouts in Buckinghamshire did you live?
Chalfont St. Peter, which is 20 miles from London or something.
Where did you have your schooling?
Well, I went to a local prep school there, and then I went to a boarding school at Camberley for 4 years or so.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
Well, I finished my schooling at Camberley at 19. When was it? I don't know. Anyway, I went on to a proper boarding school at Shrewsbury in... oh, God.
Don't worry about the dates.
Sometime in the 30s, anyway. And I left Shrewsbury in 38 and went to Sandhurst for a year.
Why had you decided to go in for the army?
I'd always been going into the army. I had two uncles in the army, and my father served throughout the First War in the Royal Signals.
What did you think of your experience at Sandhurst?
Oh, I enjoyed it on the whole. We were, because the war was about to start, we only did a year instead of 18 months. And I was commissioned on the 3rd of July, 39. And sailed in a troop ship, Britannic, from Glasgow on the day war broke out for Bombay. And we got to Bombay 3 weeks later, I suppose. And then I had to go across India by train because my regiment, the Gloucestershire Regiment, 1st Battalion, was in Rangoon then, or near Rangoon. In fact, at Mingaladoon, which is where the airfield is.
Which battalion of the Gloucesters was this?
This is the 1st Battalion, the 28th Foot.
And what did you find once you got to Mingaladoon?
Well, the regiment were there in good order. And of course we were there for 2 years, two and a bit years before the Japs arrived. So we were really having peacetime soldiering then, more or less.
How did you like it at Mingaladoon?
No, it was great. We had, we did some pretty good training there and in the jungle roundabout. We had mules to carry the machine guns, and we had 8 chargers, horses, which I used to ride regularly. every week, or not every week, but quite often, I belonged to a paper chase club, a mounted paper chase club. And we used to have a meet on Saturday mornings, and charge around the country on horseback, which was great fun.
Did you see much of the local Burmese?
Not a lot, really. We had Indian servants, mostly, or entirely.
Why should the servants have been Indian rather than Burmese?
I don't know. We had an Indian contractor, army contractor, and he produced some of the servants. And there were a lot of Indians there in Burma at that time.
How did the Indians and Burmese seem to get on with each other?
Oh, fairly well. Burmese didn't take much notice of them, really. They don't get on with it.
Was the Mingladun a popular posting with the soldiers?
It wasn't bad. We were about 12 or 15 miles from Rangoon, I think. And we had one company in the small barracks actually in Rangoon, detached from the rest of the regiment. And we took it in turns to go there. And so everyone got a bit of living in Rangoon as well as living out there.
How did people like being in the city?
Oh, well, they enjoyed it for a change. They go to the local bars and dance clubs and cinemas and things like that. It was all quite peacetime.
Was there any civil disturbance at the time where you were?
No. I think hardly at all. They all seem to be getting on with it all right. Until, of course, the Japs started in whenever it was.
December 41.
That's right, December 41. And there were several bombing raids on Rangoon, which did disturb the locals quite a bit. And, of course, a few casualties. And we were sent out then. I'd forgotten that. My company was sent away to guard the oil refinery at Sirium, which was across the river from Rangoon, just down the river a little way. And we were camped out there, which was rather pleasant for a change. And that's where we started the Jap War, as it were.
What was your particular job at the time with the battalion?
I was second in command of A Company, and the company commander was a much older officer. And
do you remember his name?
Yes, Vivian Ladds, Major Ladds. And he's got a son in the regiment now. But he was, he quickly got some sad disease, sprue, I think it was, which made him unfit, and he was sent home. So I took over command of the company, which was a great thing.
Were most of the company from Gloucestershire?
Yes, mostly. Well, yes, mostly. But we had drafts from Wiltshire and places like that as well. But they were mostly Gloucestershire people.
Were there any disciplinary problems with the troops?
No, they were splendid chaps. They all, within reason, did what they were told. They used to get drunk sometimes, but not too badly. No, they were fine.
What was your level of equipment when the Japanese attacked?
Oh, well, we had light automatics. We had the ordinary 303 rifle, and we had the light automatic Bren guns, which were fairly new in those days. Were they there then? Yes, I think so. And we had mortars, which were carried on mules. And not much else, really. Oh, we had some Vickers machine guns, yes. We had eight, I think we had eight Vickers machine guns, which were also carried on mules. So that was all good stuff. I don't remember anything else we had, really. No, we had some trucks, of course. We had, well, yes, I talk about these mules all the time, but in fact, there were a lot of lend-lease lorries, yank lorries, which were being imported and sent over the hill to China by the Burma-China road. And when the war, when the Japs started, the Jap war started, RCO merely requisitioned about 30 of these lorries, I should think, and we used them for transport through most of the rest of the campaign, which was very lucky. We were very lucky we had them. Otherwise, we shouldn't have had much motor transport. But we did. And we had jeeps. We had American jeeps too, which were very useful. So we were quite well off on the whole.
So when the Japanese attack came, you were guarding the Sirium oil refinery?
That's right. But the Japs didn't arrive at Sirium while we were there. And the day before Rangoon fell, we were ordered back to rejoin the battalion in Ming Ladun. And that night we had a special little local steamer tied up on the bank near where we were, which we'd put a guard on to make sure it didn't disappear. And when we were ordered back, we all got onto this and came back to Rangoon, where transport was waiting for us. And in the middle of the night, it was about midnight, I think, we got there and drove up to rejoin the battalion, who by that time were had already been in action at this place Tauk Chon, which was 21 miles north of Rangoon, where the whole of the Burma army was being held up by a Jap roadblock. And my battalion, which was only consisted of about one company, one and a half companies or something there at the time, because others had been detached for various jobs, were ordered to break the roadblock. Well, they had a tremendous battle, but sadly it didn't succeed that day. We arrived that night, and we were told we were going to attack the block at Sparrows the next morning.
Sparrows?
Earliest morning, you know. And we did, but in fact, during the night, the Japs withdrew because we discovered afterwards that that they'd put the roadblock there because the whole of the Jap army was crossing the road a bit further north and marching down the railway line into Rangoon. And while we were driving out of it, headlights blazing and everything else, that the night before on the main road, they'd been about a mile further west, walking down the railway into Rangoon. And they got there the next morning, and we'd luckily got out of it by then. Anyway, we had went to attack this roadblock the next morning and found they'd gone. And so the whole of the army, which had been held up, withdrew up the Prome Road in transport, mostly. But we, with two other battalions, I think, were made to march up each side of the road to make sure there weren't any Japs still about there. So we walked all that day, I seem to remember, and night, I think. And then eventually we got back to a more reasonable area, and the Japs were well away because they were hurrying into Rangoon and not bothering about us at all. And then my battalion was made the rear guard of the retreat north up through Burma. And we were rear guard for the next, I don't know, 3 weeks, I think, at least.
What happened on those 3 weeks?
Well, we withdrew gradually up the road, and there was hardly any contact with the Japs until we got to a place called Letpadon, which was, I don't know how far up the road.
Don't worry about that.
What, 30 miles or so. Where we heard that the Japs had come into the village. We were a bit north of the village, and the CO decided to have a go at them. So D Company were told off to attack the village in the early morning, which they did, and caught the Japs completely by surprise and shot them up and caused quite a lot of damage. And so that was almost the first battle. No, I'm quite wrong, of course. That's right. I'd said about the roadblock originally. Yes. Where have I got to?
Well, you said D Company shot them up.
Yes, that's right. They had a good battle there, and the Japs withdrew. But that was about the only contact until a bit later on we got back to just north of a place called Poundey, which was a small village on the main Prome Road. And there, once again, the CO discovered that the Japs had, I can't remember who it was, but someone had been in the village and discovered the Japs coming into it overnight. And the next morning, the CO decided to attack the village and give them a bloody nose. And this we did. And by that time, I was the company commander of A Company, and we were spread out on the right of the road, and B Company, was it? No, I was B Company then, that's right, yes. Yes, I'd been shifted, I was B Company. And A Company were on the left of the road. That's right, A were on the left, I was on the right, and we spread out great long lines and walked into the village. And we got there without any trouble. However, as soon as we got into the village, the Japs appeared and started shooting at us. And so we had, that's the first battle that I was really involved in.
What happened in that battle?
Well, I got shot up. So I really didn't see an awful lot of it.
What exactly happened when you got shot up?
Well, I can tell you exactly. I and one of my subalterns was slightly ahead of them, his platoon, I suppose, who were just coming up behind. And we climbed over a fence into a little courtyard around a house. And I threw a grenade because we saw some Japs between this house and the next one. And I threw a grenade, which went off. I was very lucky not to get hit by it myself, because I failed to take much evasive action. But anyway, I wasn't hit. However, just after that, the Japs then rushed through a small house back into the sort of the far side of it. And I walked through just this side of the house, past a doorway, and the door was didn't go right down to the bottom. So they must have seen my legs, because they were looking through from the other side of the house. And one of them fired a shot, which hit me in the shoulder and took a great chunk out of my back. And I fell down and thought, oh God, I've had it. I then felt I could get up perfectly well. And I got up and sort of staggered back to where the rest of the company were. And then really I staggered back to the company headquarters, where there were some stretcher bearers who took me back on a stretcher to the first aid post, the RAP, the regimental aid post, where the doctor patched me up and put me in an ambulance, and shortly after that I was evacuated back along the road to Prome.
By ambulance?
By ambulance, yes. And so that's really all I've got of the battle.
So you were in command of B Company at the time?
I was in command of B Company, that's right. So my the subaltern who was with me, he took over command. And they went on banging away there for a bit, I think. And then the CAO came up. Oh yes, he came up while I was there, that's right, just after I'd been hit. And told me to go back, and I think he then told them to withdraw too, so they did fairly soon after. However, they fought another battle at Pound Day a couple of days later when they had been reinforced by three other battalions, I think it was.
What rank did you have at this time?
I was a captain, was I? I think so, yes.
What happened once?
Acting captain.
What happened once you got to Prome?
There, I was left in a sort of field ambulance place there for a bit. And then I was sent back in another ambulance, that's right, with about half a dozen other stretcher cases, and back to a place about 20 miles north of Prome, right on the Irrawaddy, where there was a Red Cross Irrawaddy steamer, which was an ambulance boat, as it were. And I was put on that and sent back. We then had quite a lot of casualties from the regiment and from others on board. And so we steamed back up the Irrawaddy for 10 days, was it? Something like that. To Mandalay. And then we got to Mandalay and were transported by ambulance up the hill to a delightful place called Mae Mull, which was a hill station there, where there was a proper military hospital. And I was there for some time.
What kind of treatment were you getting at Mae Mull?
It was there that I was had an enormous plaster cast put on. The whole of my top half was immersed in plaster, and I had my arm out like this with a metal thing to hold it like that.
Stuck out at right angles.
Stuck out at right angles like that. And it was, shut up. And it was brag. And I was stuck like that. For some time. Brag, shut up. Sorry.
You were saying?
Where'd I got to?
You were saying about the plaster.
Oh, yes, that's right. I had this plaster cast on solidly then for, I don't know, we were another 10 days. Oh, right here. But I had this cast on forever, it seemed. We were about another 10 days in Mae Mull, I think it was, when the cry went up. The Japs are coming, so that day we were all put on a train and evacuated by train down from Mae Mull to Mandalay, and then right up the line over the next 2 days. We were transported by train, and an ambulance train on stretchers and things, up to Michinar, which was the railhead at the top of Burma, the northernmost bit of Burma. And finally got there and was stuck in a sort of temporary hospital there. And then we were only there a couple of days, I would think, when the cry went up, the Japs are coming again. and they said, you'll have to walk, to anyone who could walk. And so all the people who could walk were sent off walking. Those who couldn't, by that time, I think I'd got malaria or something. Anyway, I wasn't capable of walking as well as